T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It takes more than romance to define this team. You got to look at some of the numbers, too. And it's a pleasure to have you on, John. How are you? Damon Bruce.
What's up, Damon? How you doing?
Doing excellent. Thank you. You know, my argument has been, even with the Cavaliers capping off an amazing comeback and coming down from 3-1, any way you want to whack it up, the Golden State Warriors have been far and away the best team in the NBA over the last 3 years. And if you want to measure that from a how you feel about it standpoint, your feeling should tell you that. If you wanted to use really detailed, crunchy, analytical numbers, you wanted to break it down into individuals or some of the parts, like, in what way aren't the Warriors the best team by a mile?
I don't know. You know, I still think, the better team, the best team in the league last year did not win. Usually we can say that. Usually we can say, the better team won the series. I don't think that's the case last year. I think, the first four games were more descriptive of those two teams than the last three. But, hey, that's sometimes the way it panned out this year. And I think last year, and I think we're basically in a sort of the same position this year. It's just a matter of if the Warriors can hold it together to get the 16 wins they need to win the championship again.
Well, we'd like to see this thing end in the most ridiculous way possible, which would be them closing the regular season on a 16-game winning streak. And then, John, 16 right in a row. How about 32 to wrap up the year? Do you think that would quiet down the 3-1 comments for just a night on Twitter?
Yes, but I'll believe that when I see it.
Fair enough.
I think they have some good competition, especially in the Western Conference, that's going to prevent that from happening. I think they're the number one offensive team in the league. They're the number two defensive team in the league. Not too far behind the Spurs in that regard. They've been the number one defensive team since the All-Star break. So, I mean, they're the most complete team for sure. And obviously the most, explosive team. They have the highest ceiling as well. Like I said, it's just a matter of putting it together for 16 games. We had an interesting question, which I was posing to some people today. It was like, which is more likely to happen, the Cavs missing the finals or the Warriors not winning the championship? Because I think it's sort of a take the team versus the good team versus the field. Like I think the Warriors versus the field in regard to the championship is a good question, and I think the Cavs versus the field in regard to the Eastern Conference title is a good question as far as what you would take at this point right now, knowing what we know. And I think I would lean towards the Cavs missing the finals as being more likely. And that's more about my confidence in the Warriors and how good they are than it is in, say, the trio of Toronto, Washington, and Boston having
right.
a chance to knock off the Celtics. I think I have a hard time. I know it happened last year, but I have a hard time imagining the Warriors not, some team beating the team, beating the Warriors four times in a series this time around.
John, I know that, the analytical look of sports is supposed to take the human emotion and the romance out of it, but people then get so dependent on these numbers, they've attached a certain amount of romance to numbers. Is there an analytical stat? What is your romantic go-to number that you think explains who a team is, who a player is, better than anything else? What is your holy grail of advanced metrics?
I think as far as team success, you're looking at point differential more than you're looking at wins and losses. I think I think that can tell you how good of a team is better, because, sometimes you'll have late game luck that affects a team. Like, for instance, there are teams in the Eastern Conference that are out of the playoffs that have a better point differential than teams that are in the playoffs. And that's just sort of about, you know, how they fared in late game situations. You know, Utah was a very good team last year, but just was awful late in games, and therefore their record wasn't as good as their point differential said they should be. So when you look at team success, you look at point differential. And for me, I just look how they perform on both ends of the floor. You know, are they a good offensive team? Are they a good defensive team? Are they poor on one side or the other? And then why, you know, and then you just keep breaking it down. You know, you just look at the general stats and you just keep breaking it down and figure out why they're successful or why they're not successful on either end of the floor. As far as players are concerned, I look at team impact. Like, what kind of impact does the player have on his team success? I think that's the most important thing. Like, and people can denounce plus minus as a stat, but you know, the most important thing in basketball is outscoring the opponent, right? And plus minus is tells you, you know, whether your team outscored your opponent while you were on the floor. Obviously, the more context you can add to it, and the greater sample size you look, you gain a better understanding of how good a player is. But I think it's a key. It's one of the things that I look at all the time.
No, John, like I said, I follow you on Twitter. I think you do a great job. You're one of those guys who is an analytical guy who hasn't taken all the, you know, human nature of basketball out of your evaluations. Like, you know, you can sit here and talk about efficiency, but you also seem to be a believer in shooter gotta shoot.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, I mean, definitely. And you see it. Like, there's certain players where you feel like, wow, this guy is just a little too shy. And then you see them get a little bit more aggressive, and you realize that they can now being a threat is just as important. You know, just like a random name out of that is like a guy like Joe Ingles from Utah, who's just a very, you know, a guy that didn't shoot unless he was wide open and had plenty, you know, and was in rhythm. But as he, this year, you just see him being a little bit more aggressive. He led the league in 3-point shooting for a while. I'm not sure if he still does. But just being a little bit more aggressive and being a little bit more, you know, you just see it in him. He becomes more of a threat, and that helps his teammates. You know, it helps the guys driving to the basket when he's out there on the perimeter as a threat. And then there's good shots and there's bad shots, but sometimes, you know, you've got to be a little less picky with the shots you take just to help your team.
Of all of the numbers that the Warriors have thrown down in front of us over the last 3 years, you know, 73 wins, 400 threes, 37 points in a quarter, all the back-to-back games that they've played before they suffered back-to-back losses, they're 49 current games this year with 30-plus assists. Which would you file under the most graphic basketball pornography? Like, which
I think the assist numbers are what I, you know, I think it's what makes them who they are, you know, and, you know, I think it's the way they have, you know, three of the greatest shooters in NBA history. But it's the way they leverage their great shooting to get even better shots. Like, you know, you the threat of the three allows them to get open layups because, one, they you know, they're smart and they take advantage of, you know, a guy overplaying the guy coming off the curl, like Klay Thompson coming off a pin down for a three, and he gets overplayed and they can take advantage of that and get something going towards the basket. So it's just their collective basketball IQ to sort of take care of advantage of those situations. And the player with the ball knowing where the player without the ball is going in that regard. Like, you just saw it, you know, you just see it with Andre Iguodala may have the ball and he doesn't have to, you know, he knows where Draymond Green is cutting. You know, once Draymond Green sets that screen for Klay Thompson, he knows that Green's going to roll to the basket. And if Green's guy overplays, you know, Klay Thompson coming off that screen, Iguodala knows that Green's going to go to the basket and they're going to have a layup. And that's one of the things I find, you know, we all see the shooting and we can all sort of appreciate how great shooters they are and how far Steph shoots from. But the fun thing to watch is how they leverage that shooting to get layups. And
yeah,
that's a key thing, because they're not just a jump shooting team, as Charles Barkley would describe them. They get more layups than a lot of other teams, too, because of the way, because of the 3-point threat.
Yeah, and look, ball movement has been the star of the show since this show started. It really has been. We have to run here. You can't give me an elaborate answer, and it's a tough, quick answer. What do the numbers tell you who the MVP should be? It's please do.
I point to James Harden. You know, Russell Westbrook and James Harden are such very similar players. James Harden's running the number two offense in the league, and Russell Westbrook's running the number 16 offense in the league. And that's the thing that I point to most. Westbrook is averaging a triple double, never been done since Oscar Robertson. James Harden is averaging 28, 8, and 11, or something like that. That's never been done since Oscar Robertson too. So I look at it as, why the Rockets successful? Because their offense, and Harden is the generator of a ton of that offense. And so that's why I find that to sort of be the difference between those two guys.
John, man, good stuff. Really appreciate you coming on the show again. I enjoy your work, and let's figure out a way to get you back on here mathematically during the playoffs, okay?
I'll be ready.
Thank you very much. John Schumann, advanced stats writer for NBA.com. It was good to have him aboard.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.